All right, it is 6:05 p.m. on Thursday, October 24th, 2019. I will recognize that we do have a quorum for the Academy of Dover Board of Directors meeting. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I will recognize our board members that are present, and we do have a new addition to the board. Dr. Fletcher, Mrs. Robinson, Mrs. Tridente, and we have a new parent rep. Sir, would you like to introduce yourself to the rest of the board?
I'm Dr. Sosa Rioe. I'm a parent rep today.
Okay, I'll just let the rest of the board know. He has a son who is a kindergartner here at the Academy of Dover. So, we won't have any report from his teacher tonight. We don't want to. So welcome to the board. I will now recognize, I'll ask the board that we all recognize the fact that we have all of our faculty members and staff here at the board meeting, so if we can go around, and I guess we can start over here. You guys can introduce yourselves and tell us what your position is here at Academy of Dover.
Good evening. I'm Jennifer Papp, and I am a second grade teacher here at the Academy.
Michelle Stafford, third grade.
Good evening. Robert Dixon, special education.
Jacob Golden, I'm the art teacher.
Trisha Bowman, kindergarten teacher.
Mary Darling, third grade.
Jazz Strickler, kindergarten instructional support.
Allison Walker, second grade.
Devonna Lewis, PE.
Stephanie Davis, fourth grade.
Dana Nemechek, kindergarten instructional support.
Dave Hudson, I teach kindergarten, first grade immersion class.
Mr. Davis, I teach all grades. Oh.
Ada Todd, fourth grade.
Well, welcome, everyone. We appreciate, I think I can say on behalf of the board, we appreciate your everything that you guys do. The school would not be a school without students and teachers. So thank you for all that you guys do. Would anybody else from the board like to say anything?
Staff member of the week.
Yes.
Come with a cash prize or just a name and position.
Daniel Jones, and I'm the behavior interventist.
Excellent. All right. Does anybody else from the board like to say anything? All right. Hearing nothing. We have a public comment period if you'd like to say anything. Oh, and we have our other board member, Mrs. Candace Holmes. Anybody would like to say anything for public comment for the board?
No.
Well, thank you all for being here. Two more board members. This is Beverly Williams and Mrs. Nancy Wagner. This is the teaching staff.
I'm good.
We need one more chair.
Yes, we have one chair. We can get Mr. Dixon. Can you push that chair back around?
That'll work.
You guys can feel free to hang out. But thank you all for coming and introducing yourselves.
Thank you very much.
You want to stay?
Thank you.
All right, so I will recognize for the record our arriving board members, Mrs. Holmes, Mrs. Wagner, and Mrs. Williams, and
Mrs. Todd.
I couldn't. Okay, and Mrs. Todd. Thank you. So we definitely have a quorum now. I will let you guys peruse the minutes from the last meeting, and then we'll entertain a motion to approve them. While you guys are reading the minutes, just so we can get it out of the way, we can vote on it later on. But our fourth meeting for this month would be on Thanksgiving. So we are entertaining a motion to move it to Monday, November 25th.
Before Thanksgiving.
Before. The week of, but on the Monday instead of the
25th?
I
thought you'd cook for us.
Ah, you don't want that. Do hot dogs count?
No, they're good.
I can boil a mean hot dog.
Turkey hot dogs.
I'll
swim.
Okay, so it's been moved by Mrs. Williams. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, seconded by Mrs. Wagner and Mrs. Tridente that our next board meeting be moved to November 25th. 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We have the meeting set, and now we'll just wait for a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
You fall right out of the chair if you're uncareful.
Is she depreciated?
I don't think so.
The chair is.
Just if I fall, one, I'm not being fresh.
I move that we accept the minutes as documented here with the necessary corrections.
Okay, it's been moved by Mrs. Robinson. Do I hear a second?
Second.
And seconded by Mrs. Holmes, that we accept the meeting minutes as of, or rather the September 26, 2019 meeting minutes with any necessary corrections. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. All right, so the staff all introduced themselves. So we have one lonely staff member who was not here, so I'll let her introduce herself.
Hello all, my name is Dr. Doreen Scott Baker, and I'm new to AOD this year. I teach second grade.
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Be here.
All right. No public comments. So, Bill, you have the floor.
Does everybody have a copy of the September 30th financial report? If not, I've got two left. You're okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The September 30th unit count is over. The budget for the month of August had 267 on it. Our final number, as you see down in the left-hand corner, is 266 pupils. That's what we're getting for this year. This budget is close to being final. There are going to be some changes between now and probably late December, early January, because there's been some turnover in staff and different people appear on the payroll one time to the next. We'll have a final regeneration probably around the end of November. To give you an example, if we had someone here with a bachelor's degree and 30 years experience and they had a $20,000 health insurance policy and a new person came in with a bachelor's and zero, it can make a big difference. So the numbers are going to go up and down. And I'll point out some other things that will cause problems later on. So if we want to start with page one, if you take the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the first eight budget numbers are unchanged from last month. And just a couple comments about some of them. The educational sustainment, that $46,039, is somewhat in the ballpark, but it's not a final number. What happens is after September 30 enrollment, the state takes all the Division I units and takes them to the state board in right around Thanksgiving every year. And once that's determined, they'll take our Division I compared to the state's, and they'll give us a final number there. If you look at minor cap, that
Bill, is that normally higher or lower?
Well, it depends on our relationship to the total. It probably, I don't know, because I don't know what the total is in ours. It just depends.
Okay.
But I think it's in the ballpark. It's very close.
Thanks.
If you look at a minor cap, that $43,792 is final. There's not going to be any changes. The first change is 05213, and turn back to page 6 in your packet. It looks like this. It's the next to last page in your packet. And if you look at this, this was run on 10-3. If you run it different times during the week, there's going to be different numbers and it fluctuates. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you look up the top, it says transportation eligible zero. And the reason it's zero, I don't know why the state does it, because September 30th units count's over. But they don't do anything on transportation until the end of after October 31st. And we have to make sure that all of our transportation eligible students are in the system, because if not, we won't get any money at all for transportation. That's a big amount. And I checked with Shell before the meeting, and we have all those people in eSchool, right? So if you look now over on the right-hand side, you see transportation student transportation amount zero, and the reason it's zero, we have no transportation. If you get down below there in handwriting, we're supposed to get $997.56 per pupil, and 266 kids, that'll generate $265,350.96. If I add that to the total calculation of $1,978,682, we come up with $2,244,232.96. And before we go there, I just want to point out a couple things. Do you see transportation supervisor over in the left-hand side about the fourth category down that says units funded zero? And the reason it's zero is, again, because there's no transportation in. To get one full-time transportation supervisor, you need to transport 7,000 pupils. Mm-hmm. We transport 266. So down at the bottom here, I took 266 over 7,000. That's 0.04. And if you see what we get, if you had a full unit, you get 64,981. So that gives us 2,500. And we get OECs on that, which is about 32%. So we'll pick up another $3,439 next month after this thing's run. And that's an idea of what's going on. And just to point out, if you go up to Division 1 above there, do you see the units funded, 18.14? But because of who's on our payroll and who isn't on the payroll, they've only allocated 15. They can only identify 15. So the difference between 15 and 18, they're giving us a state average. And the state average might be higher than what we get. Plus the state average for health insurance is $12,000. So our numbers might be a little bit high when they put the actual people in, if I'm making sense to you. So if we go back to page 1, you see the $2,244,000, and that's the number that's in there. And that's our major source of funds. You can see that's well over half of the revenue we get from the state. And that 05213 money can be used for anything, salaries, textbooks, transportation, you name it. The next big one is local district funding. $420,000. Go back to the last page in your packet. And it looks like this. If you see that, that was run on 10-4 after the 9-30 date. So that was 266 pupils. So that generated $413,000. If you divide the 413 by 266, it's an average of about $1,554.70 per pupil. If you look at this, districts were supposed to pay us 35% by now. I've checked off the districts that have paid, and guess who hasn't paid?
Capital.
So if next month they don't pay, I will place a little call to the business manager over there, because they're supposed to do it. They're a slow pay, and Christine is a slow pay, too. So, and then what happens is, after the November 30th approval by the board, state board, if you go to Caesar Rodney, they paid us $25,000, they owe us $72,000. The state will then bill them for the difference. So hopefully in December or January at the latest, we should have that $413,000. I added to it any interest we get in local funds. Last year we got about $6,500, so I put that in this year. We may get less because of the two federal reserve rate discounts, so the interest rate's going down. But I think I'll be in the ballpark. So if I take the 413 and add to it the interest, that's $420,000, and that's what I put on page 1. And I think that's a fairly solid number. The only thing that's going to happen is the month of October, the business managers in those districts get a list before they make that final payment. When I was a businessman, I didn't check the 35% because I knew I owed that. But they get down through and check all the addresses. If they find one that's, they'll get a list of all their kids. If they find an address not in their district, they'll appeal it. So we might get a little less in there if a kid went from, say, Appaquinimate to Capital or vice versa. But it's not going to be anything major. So the $420,000, I think, is a pretty close number. If you look at the rest of the budget, there's been no change since August. If we go over to projected revenue, if you look at a lot of them, we already have 100% of the money. The only ones I'm going to point out, if you look at the reading, you see that $73,000 and receipts of $81,000. This budget is based on a period of time from July through June. When we hire a new person in September, August, they only get paid through June on this budget. We've got to have money set aside for the summer months. So I projected the person's salary and OECs and health insurance to be 73. We get 81. The reason I didn't put 81 in the budget is because I need that money set aside for the summer. That's a little bit unusual, and I've never shown that before, but I wanted to show that. If we look at the state unit formula, we're about 60%. If we look at local district funding, we're at 7%. We should be at 35. But if I take the 113 from capital and add it to the 129, we're right close to 35. So next month we should be at 35. All the other categories are going as I would anticipate. So I think the budget is close to being final. There will be some changes for some of the things I've talked about, and we'll know a lot more probably in December or January, but I think we're in the ballpark. If we look at expenditures, we've had two pays in July, three in August, and two in September, so we should be 726 or 26.9. We're 23.1, so we're running well there. The OECs were running well. And if we look at the year on a pure percentage basis, we have July, August, September. 312 is 25%. We're 21.4, so we're 3.6% under. So we're running, I think the budget's final, and we're running within the budget that we have set up. Any questions on page one?
I just have a general question.
Sure.
When we were, and I think I missed the last meeting, when we set up this tentative budget, it was based on how many kids?
I think we started at 267.
Okay, so we're basically, we were close.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had, this is 266. Last year we had 272, and I'd have to back and look, but I think we were 260, 270, somewhere in that area. So we're 600 last year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said before, I can look at page one and tell you if you're in any trouble. And we have reserved now of $229,000. And I want to make a comment about that a little bit later.
Say that number again.
$229,000. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look, it's a contingency on page
right
one,
okay.
Dr. Fletcher. Okay?
Can I interrupt you real quick, Bill?
Yes.
I apologize. When I said the names for quorum, I forgot Mrs. Postal, so I couldn't see you back there.
Thanks.
Our curriculum and instruction specialist is also here. For the record, when I was looking around, Miss Trident, it's Miss Trident's fault. She was blocking you.
I was blocking you, yes.
Sorry, I did not overlook you.
Thank you.
So if we go to page two, this is more detail of what's on page one, and I'll just point out a couple things. The guide is 26.9, so if you look at teachers, we're 22 because we've got people coming and going. If you look up the top, termination, salary, vacation, that was the principal that resigned, so we had to pay her for vacation, and we've requested the state share of that, and I'll show you next month. It doesn't show on this report, but we got $6,700 back. It'll show on the funding report. She ran a report today, and it showed at the bottom. So we got about $6,700 back of that. If you look at the ones at 100%, we had a person here that worked a little bit this year, so we're not going to have any more expenditures there, and the same with the paraprofessional. The only one that's a little bit high, and I talked to her about that, this year we got some new codes, and custodial overtime is a new code, and that number is pretty high, and we talked about that. Other than that, I think the numbers are pretty much in line. If you look at OECs, they're in the 26 range, so we're running good there. The only thing I want to point out down below is computer services. What happened in the month of August, we found out that our computer people got a new accounting firm, and they hadn't billed us for 6 months. So those costs flow over to this month. Last month, we had a budget of $30,000 in the commuter services. I asked Mary Ann what the carryover amount was, and that was $12,967. So I just added that to the 30. If we had a $30,000 for budget this year and we covered the 12, we should be okay. If you move on to page 2, just want to point out a couple of things. When I started the year, I didn't put in the amount that we really were owed for rent this year, because every December the rent goes up. Last month, the rent was $542,776. It's not on there. It'll jump to $553,887, a total of $11,000.
Say that again, Bill.
The $553,887 is what it is. I started the year with $542,000. We went up $11,111.
Is that because of a rent increase? Or
yes, yes.
And so
the lease has an increase every year.
Yeah,
we haven't worked with him yet to see what we can do.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, but we have.
I just wanted to point out that I made a change in the budget because Mary Ann had to make that payment, so I didn't want to cross that bridge until we talked to him.
Okay.
And then if you look at transportation, last year, I don't know if you recall, we had overpaid them by $3,000 last year. It should be $214,500. We contacted them because they didn't let us know we'd overpaid them, so I reduced that by $3,000. So the first payment is $18,450, $3,000 less. I just want to make sure that happened.
How'd they take that?
I don't know. I didn't talk to them. I had someone else call them.
Chicken.
No, I wasn't chicken. I just I didn't have the documentation. But the reason I picked it up is because the budget, we should always set the budget. We were $3,000 over. And I started looking at it, and I said, well, look at that. The payment is $3,000 too much. It happens when you enter some things. You don't pick it up. But we did get the money back. So, and I haven't heard anything because we paid them $3,000 less the first payment. And I think that's it on that page. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What?
I got it, yeah. $11,111 that the rent went up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need the rent to be for us to be comfortable?
Zero.
I think that as much
as zero. That's what I was going to say.
Don't even go there. I can do a little, but I can't do zero.
I would like to look at the current lease we have and see if we can freeze that. That'd be number one. And then get some type of decrease. The only thing I can tell you is, remember the year we really had a problem? He gave us a $90,000 rebate. I'd get anything from zero to $90,000 I'd like to get. Because we're looking at renewal coming up, and we've got to start building some balances.
Yeah, but I understand that.
Yeah.
But
okay, good.
My question is, do you want a freeze or do you want a discount?
I want both.
Well, I know you do, Bill, okay. But you're going to have to pick and choose.
Yes.
Which would you rather have?
Well, a discount.
A discount, yeah.
Yeah,
discount,
because that's stable throughout time.
As long as we get a discount and that discount follows through during the years.
I'm talking about to the end of the contract.
Yeah, yeah.
If we set, well, we'll have to.
Yeah. We haven't discussed
we
that. I think we've got to have a game plan to win there and tell them about the issues. You know, last year we had the leaky roof. We had times that there wasn't any heat in the building. We had a lot of things damaged. You know,
we need to come up with a presentation and then come up with a number.
I think we need to prepare when we go in there.
I think
that's avoiding your question. But.
I've got a suggestion that we have a little strategic meeting before we meet with MAST.
Yes.
Because we may get all of it or we may get part of it. But it's going to be how we present it and whether he wants the money that's coming in to stay coming in to him or whether he wants it to stop.
Mm. Gotcha.
Mm. No, I agree with
that. And I don't think Henry likes stop.
No.
I wouldn't either.
No. Not when he's made a bloody fortune already.
Well, sure.
Henry has to go.
And can we have those figures? Will we be able to get those figures before our strategic? How much money have you paid him thus far?
Over the years. Oh,
millions. Well, but we need to know.
I don't know if they have records here going back because I wasn't here.
Can we estimate it?
Michelle, could you and Mary Ann go back and look at the reports and see how much we paid? See how far she goes back on rent for each fiscal year? She could just, if she has all these budgets over there, she could just take the budget for each of the years she has.
And if she doesn't, go back to a board meeting and find out what the original rent was, and we'll just estimate it, because it's going to be probably 5 to 10 May.
Okay.
That's pretty close to Andalusia.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
In 20 years.
Yeah. Point of information, I think Dr. Fletcher had a question.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have two items on here. I noticed under custodial supplies, we've expended about 40.7%. You can explain that one. And under textbooks, we've just completely wiped out our textbook budget. So those are two items that require just a little bit of understanding.
We would have to do some research on that because mine just have totals. We'd have to look into those. And we can give you the answer next meeting.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I could answer the textbook because to start the year, we purchase all of our books.
Okay.
And a piece of it, what was explained to me was because we added the third, second grade classroom, we ended up having to purchase a lot of additional books.
Okay.
And are any of the custodial supplies related to us cleaning up after mass issues?
I would have to check on that.
I would think that's probably last year. You haven't had any issues this year with leakage?
Yeah.
We had
okay.
one.
Okay, I don't know that.
That is a hallmark of Henry's building. And that is a major, major component for our renegotiation because he invariably, either the grade is off or in the case of Owens Manor, which he built for Dover Housing Authority, every single window leaked. Every single one of them. That's grading. You can't have a building where every single one leaks. And Henry's going to have to get hit and hit hard. And we got a whole. I don't particularly like the fact that we have to always be going up when the building is depreciating. We should be either steady or going down as it depreciates because our costs for maintenance are going to go up. And that's where I'm going to be coming from. And his record on leaky windows.
Michelle, do you think Jimmy could give you maybe a list of some of the costs for the cleanup separate and then maybe ask? See, early in the year, during the summer and so forth, he probably buys a lot of supplies for the floors and so forth.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah. Could you just ask him that question? I don't really know. I could look at I could see invoices, but I don't know what's on them. Mm-hmm. And then maybe if he could also, if we're preparing for this meeting, does he have a list of how much he spent over and above what he would normally? Yeah. For problems caused by the owner?
And for structural deficiencies that he knows about, that he knows that are eventually going to cost us money. Because he knows. He knows if something is weak. Yeah.
It's a good idea. Okay? Is that okay, Dr. Fletcher?
I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, I can hardly wait for Henry.
So, if we move on to page 4 or 5, if you see, we don't have any minus in the balance column. The only one I'd be concerned about is if you look at FY18, there's $370.36 that's going to expire, but Michelle said that's already been spent, so we won't have any reversions. The next reversions will be at the end of the year, so we have time for that. And if you look on here, there are no FY20 federal funds, but they should start flowing in now. And then if you go to the web report, but down at the bottom, I just want to point out again, I don't know if you remember when Penn Cater went under, they ended the year, they didn't have money to pay the teachers during the summer because the year runs through, and that's when the state said, you should always have enough money to cover your summer payroll plus your accounts payable. So if you look at the last line on that, the projected payroll for this summer was 314 and 28. So we're getting close to where you have to do a renewal, so we got to look towards trying to get that type of number, okay? And that's all I have, unless you have any questions. So I think the budget's pretty near to be there. She's doing a good job staying within it. And I think the other thing that's happened this year, as you look on page 1, you see a lot of new appropriations. She was able to take some of our existing costs away from 05 to 13 and use these, which has helped us tremendously. So that's all I have right now. Any questions?
Thank you, Bill. I'll now entertain a motion to approve the budget as of September 30th, 2019.
So moved.
All right, it's been moved by Mrs. Williams, seconded by Mrs. Wagner, that we approve the budget as of September 30th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the budget is approved. The only change I asked bill on our web report where it says we have paid, we pay our last payment to Mosaica in July 2018. We're going to change that is to was, so it's in the past tense.
Especially since that's Dr. Fletcher's line.
So, all right, principal's report. Michelle, you have the floor.
So we are in full swing, about to end marking period one. I can't believe it's already there. And we are having a great time. You met most of the staff this evening, and they're phenomenal. What they're doing in the classrooms every day is amazing. So many of them are young. They're new. They're in their earlier years of teaching, but they are in the game, and they want to do good for, you know, they just want to do the right thing for students. So, and they're excited. And you can see it. You can hear it. You could hear it a few minutes ago after they left the meeting. But we have built a true team. And it's really exciting to have that. So it's been really awesome. We've got a couple of exciting events coming up. We have a fairy tale walk, which takes place during the day on October 29th from 1:30 until 3. We've invited our parents to come in and walk with their children. Obviously, you all are invited to come in. You're always invited to come in. And during the fairy tale walk, what we've asked is, rather than celebrating Halloween, doing a trunk or treat, doing a trick or treat, doing anything like that, because not all families celebrate Halloween, rather than doing that, we've asked all of our teachers to come up with a theme based on literature. And that is something that I've warned them that will always be my theme, because reading and literature is my background. So they are bringing literature to life. And so if you walk through the hallways, you'll note that some of the hallways have already started to take that theme on. The Great Pumpkin Escape is starting to happen down the fifth grade hallway. But they are doing, so there's a fairy tale walk happening. It's from 1:30 until 3 on October 29th. The students will be walking by grades so that they'll get a chance to walk around, and then the other kids will get to see them. There's a gathering of all at 2 o'clock in the cafeteria. The PTO is putting on a small event, and we also have our musical production. So this will be our first event done by our fifth graders. They sound really good. It's so awesome. The drums, you can hear the beating of the drums when they're here on Monday and Wednesday morning. So if you're ever around this area, Monday or Wednesday, early in the morning, verse period, 8:15-ish, stop by. You cannot leave without smiling. It's awesome to see the kids. These fifth graders are so excited with what they're doing. There's some kids on the drums. They're different kinds of drums, and they're all learning it. There's some kids using different other instruments. We've got the volunteer on the piano, and kids in a chorus singing a song. And so that they're going to do their first production October 29th during the day at 2 o'clock for the school and anyone that's here. And then we are having, instead of AOD night, we're calling it an evening at the academy. We plan to roll out the red carpet for this event where we bring literature to life. And so, again, each grade has chosen a book to bring to life. So they are very excited. I know kindergarten is doing Pete the Cat. Or first grade, I'm sorry. First grade is doing Pete the Cat. Mm-hmm. Kindergarten is doing a couple of different songbook, storybook ideas. And third grade is doing The True Story of the Three Little Pigs. I'm not sure what the others are doing, but they're all coming up with something and some way to demonstrate literature being brought to life. What is fourth grade doing?
We haven't decided exactly. Okay. We're talking using the poetry that we're coming up on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's really exciting to have the students and the staff come up with a way to bring the literature to life. And then Ada is sitting at the table this evening because I asked her to come. One of the things that we've brought on this year is the English curriculum, the ELA curriculum that we've have in place, wonders, is not so wonderful. It's in the yellow and the red zone, which gives you an idea of that it's not so wonderful. And in looking at it, we want our students to do well. So it's not all about the state test. But if that is a measure that we're being measured by, and if in the end we're looking at competencies and getting our kids the skills that they should have, then let's make sure that we give our teachers the tools to get there. So we were able to identify a curriculum tool that is all green in all grade levels that our school serves in all areas. And Ada is, I will say, an absolute superstar. Like, she has got to be the most top-notch teacher in this building, in my opinion. Like, you are. Brings tears to my eyes to say that. But Ada's been there since day one, just kind of giving me her back and saying, think about this, know about this. What do you think about this? And just a phenomenal asset to this school. But Ada was the first one to jump on and say, I'll try it out. I'll jump in. I'll do this new curriculum. This curriculum is free. So it's an open resource curriculum. The only cost is the purchase of books. So instead of some teacher crutch book where it's spiral bound and they do lesson one, lesson two, lesson three, which doesn't really excite most people, it's real books. Our kids have books in their hands. And Ada has examples for you. And I think Ms. Postal's made some extra copies for you to see.
Oh, she did. Okay.
The growth, I want you to see the growth that has happened as a result of what has been placed in the hands of our students. And we were able to use the DOE money that we struggled with spending for the reading specialist last year. We were able to repurpose that money to use to purchase these books for our kids, which are sitting right behind you. So we were able to not spend money. Like, we were able to use money very well to buy all of the books we needed for our entire school to be able to jump into this curriculum and put real books in the hands of our students and get amazing growth out of our students.
And this,
so
this growth.
This is one example.
And
so this
five
shows
copies of each, yeah.
Yeah, they're copies.
And this growth isn't limited to students that are generally at the higher level. This growth is happening across every level a student might be at.
So explain.
So the staple, just take a look at the stapled set. What you see there is the beginning of the year and a few weeks later. The same students' work. The depth of writing. And the some of them, it's on the backside. So you'll see front side, back side. But the change that has happened, the evolution that has happened.
What grade is this?
Fourth grade. Pretty impressive for fourth graders.
This is nice penmanship.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's much
better. We're teaching handwriting too. But
so explain, can you explain for those of us who are not educational specialists, what happened, why did the old curriculum defined as yellow or red, and what made you want to jump into a new curriculum?
So Wonders is very, very boxed. You have comprehension, you have vocabulary, you have the basic things that are in a lot of curriculums, and that's what you do. You do it in sections, and that's all they're learning. So with L Education, they're actually real literature, and they're taking it apart piece by piece, and they're determining what it's about and why the writer wrote it and what the writer was trying to get you to see. And then they're taking what they learned from that and then they're creating their own writing from that.
So it's applied education.
Yes.
Gotcha. That answers my
question. And it embeds social studies, mm-hmm.
yeah,
science,
everything
into it's, I mean, to see these children take poetry and take it apart and what they're, I mean, it's just, you go in these classrooms and it was a struggle when you first started doing it because it was so different for the students. But the growth that has happened, it's just really incredible to see the growth that has happened.
Well, it seems more student-centered versus rote type of teaching, where it's more project-based, and the students are leading their own learning.
So it has a student direction, too.
Yes, it does.
Well, that would keep boredom away.
Yes, because it gets away from that boxed wonders, and it's not that rote where we do the same chapter, the next unit, the same way, where it's just a new chapter. This is very different.
And there's a variety of texts, so they're starting with poetry, and then they move into something different. But there's a theme that they follow for each grade, so there's different modules and themes, and the entire collection of the books is literally behind you, which is why I don't know if you've noticed in board, but we've been getting books and sorting and organizing. But it's been really exciting to see it going on for, you've been doing it for a month or so,
a little over.
And how has this impacted discipline? There was problems.
Fourth grade
before.
Has the lowest numbers. Yes. Fourth grade's doing great.
I would say that there are many other things that impact discipline besides what you're doing in your classroom, what you're doing in your curriculum. But I also will say that in a curriculum like this, they're using their whole brain. They're using every bit of energy they have to understand what you're doing and to work with what we're doing. So they are a lot more engaged.
It's been really exciting. It has. It's been really exciting. So, and it's, we're growing the rest of our educators so that they're ready to step into something that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Change is not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And to go from the spiral book that I just go to the next page to this, where you're truly teaching, is a big step. It's a scary step. But it's a really rewarding step too. So we're working with our teachers to get them to take that leap, and they're slowly saying, "Okay, I'm ready to do it now," and we're working with them to get them there.
Any feedback from parents?
As far as L Education
what
directly,
what the youngsters are doing. I mean, some parents who talk the curriculum, did they notice any difference? If you sent some of these pages home, did you get any comments back?
Like penmanship, stuff like that?
I haven't gotten any directly about L Education. The more I've gotten feedback from the students. More from the students have been things like that they didn't think they could write an essay, or they didn't think that they could do this. So when they get done, they're just amazed at what they were able to do because of the scaffolding. Now, I assume more parent feedback directly related to L will happen as we have parent conferences and we're showing them the work.
Oh, so they don't see the work.
They do see the work, but they see pieces of it, because pieces of it we would be keeping to discuss with them directly.
So would you have some of this stuff on display, like at the evening
Absolutely.
At the academy, different things like that, I guess, just to show?
Once we get to evening at the academy, they're already working on writing their own poetry. So that is what I plan to have displayed.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that you were so proud. She came in yesterday to our PLC, and the joy on Ada's face, I mean, she is so proud of our students. And she showed me, she had all these writing samples, and I, it made my day. To see what, not just our high students, but our struggling students, to see how far they've come in the matter of weeks is phenomenal.
Right, and what you're not realizing by looking at those is one of those samples was a student that is generally considered lower in ELA, one that is in the middle, and one that is generally considered high. But you don't see those disparities between them because they were all able to compete on an equal field.
Yeah. I have two questions. First question, an evening of AOD, what day is that?
What day? Oh, I'm sorry. It's November 13th from 5:30 until 8:00.